the common market. And this is the third message on the common market. And tonight we're looking at its prosperity. And I want to take the time this evening to expound from this book the prosperity that will come to this common market. And I hope you've got it into your mind from the other lectures that the common market, the European Economic Community, as Mr. Heath calls it, that the common market is not a sort of glorified old Lammas Fair, you know. I want you to get that into your mind, because I think some folks think it is. Let me tell you that it will be worldwide. Won't stay just in the European Community. It will take in every market in the world. That I will prove, of course. You know, we've done some studies already, and some of you have been away in your holidays, and we want to bring you up to date, and so I'm recapping just a little bit. I'll not go too far with it, but it'll help the folks that have been away. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2 just for a moment. And in Daniel chapter 2, if you know the wonderful chapter, it was here the king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and this mighty image came before him. And it was Daniel who got the secret from the Lord and began to tell the dream to the king. In verse 31, Daniel 2:31, "Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold. The image you can see was a man. His head was of fine gold. His breast and his arms of silver. His belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay." And Daniel said to the king, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet." And we want to get that into our minds, because the stone cut out without hands is Christ. And it's Christ coming back to take up the kingdom. That's the time the feet are crushed. And so he just outlines the image. And then he said to Nebuchadnezzar, verse 37, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings." And at the end of verse 38, he said to him, "Thou art this head of gold." So there's no problem there. The head of gold was the Babylonish kingdom. "And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. This is the breast and the arms of silver." And we found out that that was the Medo-Persian kingdom. "And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth." That was the third kingdom, and that was the kingdom of Greece. "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron." And, of course, that was the Roman Empire. And so this is quite simple. We've got historians here from Queens who know history better than I will ever know it. But you will see quite clearly that while the Babylonian kingdom was standing, and even the Medo-Persia and the Grecian and the old Roman Empire, that the Lord Jesus didn't come, the stone from heaven, and didn't come and smite this kingdom on its feet. You see that verse 41 that says, "Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes." Oh, we get those toes in now. course, if it was a proper image, it's got 10 toes. And you know, that's very wonderful, because it says in verse 44, talking about the toes, "And in the days of these kings..." Well, these toes happen to be kings, and the word kings there is an old Hebrew word which means powers or rulers. So that what Nebuchadnezzar was seeing was these four Gentile world empires, and then after a long space of time, away in the very last of the last days, these 10 toes would begin to wiggle, and then Jesus would come and smash them. And that's where we're living now. So we found the common market, all right. Make no mistakes about it. But we found a bit more, and I can't go into all that, sure, because it's going to waste time. Look at chapter 7, just to let us do a little bit more for you. Chapter 7. And just like there were four beasts, four metals, there are four beasts now. This is another vision that Daniel had. Daniel spake and said, verse 2, "I saw in my vision by night." Verse 3, "Four great beasts came up from the sea." Verse 4, "The first was like a lion." Verse 5, "And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear." Verse 6, "This I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard." Verse 7, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible." You'll see at the end of verse 7, it had 10 horns. And you get the 10 toes and the 10 kings, 10 rulers, 10 powers, 10 horns, whatever way you like. They're all there. And when Daniel's seeking for the interpretation of these, in verse 20 it says, "And of the 10 horns that were in his head..." Then it says, verse 24, "And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. And we're back to these 10 powers again. There isn't any problem in all this. These 10 toes are now beginning to take shape in Europe. 10 powers. 10 kings. 10 rulers. Yeah, they're there now. And I want to tell you this, it says here, "And the 10 horns, verse 24, "out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them." That's another power. "And he," this is the person, "shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. Don't let's get into that just tonight. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." And if you look at verse 25, you'll get 2 things. This last power, whom I say is the president who will arise in this common market. This is the presidency we're looking at now, a person. You'll always know him when you meet him in Scripture by the mouth and the months. A time and times and dividing a time. I think a time stands for a year and times for 2. And half a time is 3 years and a half. And you get the mouth and the months. If you get them, you'll always get the character. Now, let's go a wee bit further with that. Let's go on over to Revelation chapter 13, and then we're almost ready to begin. Only doing this for the bronzed ones from the holiday camps. All the folk that have been swallowing the sour waters of the Mediterranean. Yes. Now, we're at chapter 13 of Revelation, and there's a man here, and he's called the Beast. I think it's the same president, of course. Verse 5, just for what we want now. And there was given unto him a mouth. That's the same mouth as we were looking at, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, I didn't write that. It just happens to be it's the same mouth and the same months. So it must be the same man. But in this chapter, you don't only have the mouth and the months, you have something else. You see, another fellow rises to help him. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, he's going to help this president. And here's how he's going to do it. Verse 16, and he causeth all, let's get the word all in, and in case we make any misinterpretation, the Holy Ghost has put it like this, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast. Now, he's not only a mouth, and we don't only have the months, but now we have the markets. Now, I want to tell you that this president that will arise, because they're beginning to form a parliament now in Brussels, oh yes, a great European Economic Community Confederacy Parliament is going to be called. And out of that parliament, we're going to have this president of the common market. And he's going to be a sort of superman, super evil man, of course. And you know, he's going to take control of the markets of the whole world. Don't let's stop with this small market like the Lammas Fair, you know. Get the hold of it. He's going to make everybody bow. And we're talking about communists and Romanists. Oh, yes. Went over the world, and Confucius and all the rest of it. The whole world will have to bow. And when he has control of all the markets, and you're only allowed to buy or sell if you have his mark, you'll have to bow. Great thing for the Church of Jesus Christ to know that she won't be here. She'll be gone. So we've got along to there just now. And tonight we're going to look at the prosperity of the market. Because I haven't any doubts at all about the prosperity of the common market. None whatsoever. You see, when the referendum was on, we heard politicians each evening, and some of them were advocating and trying to persuade the people not to vote yes for the common market, because that the religion of Rome would take command of the world. And I believe that the folks who were arguing from that standpoint, they were perfectly right. Because next week we are not looking at the prosperity of the market, we're going to look at the religion of the market. And don't miss that if you can possibly come. But you see, some of the advocates, they advocated that you say no to the common market, not only because of Rome, but because that Westminster will become a sort of glorified county council. When this great European common market parliament begins, well, Westminster won't count for very much, and I think they were right. Some of them advocated that we must not say yes to the common market because our Queen will lose all her royal sovereignty, and she'll be like a dame of the British Empire living at Buckingham Palace, and so she will. But I noticed that a great many politicians were saying, don't vote yes, because the common market will fail and we would prosper outside of it, and they were wrong. There isn't any chance in the world of it failing. And what is more, there isn't any chance of them succeeding outside it. Because outside it, you won't be allowed to buy or sell. You can be perfectly sure I never voted for such a thing. Yes, but we've got to look now. I have no doubts about its prosperity. I heard Mr. Shaw night after night trying to push it. It won't succeed. It won't prosper. And he has said a few dark things since that too. Yes, well, we need to go by the book. Never mind about the politicians too much. Now, if we're going to look at its prosperity tonight, first of all, we're going to look at the policies, because there are some policies that this common market and its great president will follow. And then I want to look at some of the plans that's revealed in this book about this common market. And I want to have just a little glimpse of the power that it will have. And as we look at the policies and plans and power of the common market, we will find that these policies and these plans and this power will give it absolute control of all the markets of the world. That's what we got to prove from this book this evening. So let's look at these policies, for they will bring prosperity, and these plans, for they will bring prosperity, and this power, for it will bring prosperity. And now we're beginning to start. I'm just in that sort of mood this evening that I'm not in any hurry. Praise the Lord. Once I get the signal from down there, I'm as right as the mayor. I can go on to midnight. If you've got a piece, eat it now. All right, we're at the book of Daniel. We're back to Daniel, chapter 8 this time. Book of Daniel, chapter 8. And we want to have a look at this king that's going to arise, or this president, or this ruler, or this power that's going to come in the latter days. And we're at Daniel chapter 8. And verse 23. Daniel 8:23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, and get the latter time in, please. When the transgressors are come to the full, and that ought to make you fully persuaded that it is the latter time, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. This is the fellow that we're thinking will be the president of the common market. Want you to see the countenance, it's fierce. But more than anything, I want you to see what the Bible says about him. He understands dark sentences. I wonder what that means now. There can't be truth in them when they're dark. Truth and light go together. But leave that for a moment. Verse 24, and his power shall be mighty. When we begin to look at his power one night, we're going to look at his religion or the religion of the market next week, but his power will have to be looked at. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Of course, anybody who knows this book understands that. Or the devil will give him a hand. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper. You get the word in, just in case you missed it. Been there a long time. Written away in the days of Daniel. Shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Then I think that when you're reading in this book and you get the mighty and the holy people, you must be thinking about the Jewish nation. Because he means to take it out of them. But that's not our subject this evening. Don't be sidetracked. We're just after the prosperity of the market. Now watch this verse, verse 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Now the word policy is a very thrilling word. It's a Hebrew word. It's Sechem. It's S-E-C-H-E-M. Sechem. And you know, you can go and get a Hebrew lexicon and look it up. And if it's a good concordance lexicon, you can find everywhere where it's mentioned in the Bible. Sometimes it's not the word policy that translates it. You see up the chapter a little bit there, where we had that word, verse 23 at the end of it, understanding. Now that's the exact same word you can look at when you get home. Because policy is an understanding. And I'm sure you can see with one eye that policy and understanding. You see, when you come to understanding, when you come to the faculty of understanding, in here somewhere, there's a brain, I don't know how much I have, but there it is, it's there somewhere. And in that brain there are certain departments. There is the faculty of imagination. I can imagine a lot of things. And then there is the faculty of memory. And that's a very valuable faculty for me. Because I just can't wade through this unless this faculty, this memory, keeps up to scratch. And it has been a very good friend of mine down through the years. I think God gave me an extra special bit just there, but that can be debated. But there is not only imagination in there and memory in there. There is something in there that's called understanding. That's another faculty I have. Understanding. Now, we must remember that when God made Adam, what a wonderful being he was. Turned out perfectly. Yes, perfect man. Turned out by the hand of God. Of course, you know, Adam fell. Sinned. Through one man's sin entered into the world. And the understanding became darkened. Oh, yes, that's what Paul says in the New Testament. Your understanding was darkened. And that's why, no matter how clever a wee fellow you are at Queen's University, if you're not saved, you don't understand the things of God. Sorry for bumping into you. I'd love to run over some of you. Think you're the whole cheese when you can spell better than me. Let's get it quite clear that the natural man doesn't even know the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. You need to be born again and get that faculty enlightened a little bit. When Jesus took his disciples in the upper room, they're just fishermen, rough characters. But he opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Oh, yes, isn't it? Some of the old cadgers who don't like this class and all the folk coming here, they say, sure, he never went to school. That's quite right. Yeah, but I did spend about 40 years at the feet of Christ, and he knows a thing or two. Yes, he can open your understanding, you know. You begin to see things Yes, that's how it works, you know. It just works like that. But then you see, you do know this, that unsaved men and unsaved women, while their understanding is darkened, you know, they may go about quite decent, respectable people. But you know, there are some darkened minds that the devil works with. Don't forget that. Oh, we've got black magic and all the rest of it. Oh, yes. That's why this fella who has this sort of understanding, this policy, that's why he can understand dark sayings. That's what we read. Or did you think I printed it? Oh, yes. Understand dark sentences. Somehow the devil's going to talk to him. And somehow he's going to understand perfectly what the devil wants. Yes. And here's what the book says now, if you're watching it properly. Verse 25, and through his understanding or policy, through his policy also, he shall cause craft. There's a word for you. There's another Hebrew word, and I'll tell you what it means. It means deceit. Somebody says you're crafty. They've got an idea about you. Yes. You see, through his darkened understanding and being in perfect understanding with the powers of darkness, you know, he's going to be able to deceive quite a lot of people. And this deception is going to bring prosperity to the common market. That's what we're reading, in case you missed it. And through his understanding also, he shall deceive. And yet that will bring prosperity. You know, that's an amazing sort of thing, isn't it? When we look down the chapter a little bit, do you see, it says, through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by prosperity is the word there. Shall destroy many. That word peace is a wrong translation. Oh no, it says in your margin, if you care to look at the margin, it says by prosperity. Yes, he's going to work this prosperity and he's going to destroy a lot of people through it. You know, this is an amazing thing. Because these policies or this understanding that he has, it's going to bring prosperity and at the same time it's going to destroy many. Now, let's go a bit further than that. Let's think about the plans. Let's go to chapter 11. We're at Daniel 11. Now, verse 24, it's talking about the same person. Verse 24, Daniel 11. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. Oh, the word fattest is a very interesting word, you know. You know, when Abraham blessed Jacob, I know he was pretending to be Esau. Oh, shall I let the young people see that? Go back to Genesis 27, book of Genesis 27. You know, it's Jacob pretending to be Esau. Verse 26, we're at chapter 27 of Genesis 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. Yeah, that's real blessing from God, you see. And I want you to get this. Let's go back to Book of Genesis 27. You know, it's Jacob pretending to be Esau. Verse 26, we're at chapter 27 of Genesis 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. Yeah, that's real blessing from God, you see. And I want you to get this. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 11. You know this character that's going to arise. I wonder when it says, he shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. I wonder, is it the fattest places of Israel? That's quite a question, and I'm not going to enter into it very much just now. I've just wondered in the last day or two, when Israel made their application to become an associate member of the common market, and they were accepted last week or the week before, I wonder, are they walking into this? And I wonder, is this the beginning of somebody moving towards them sort of peaceably, but they're going to take the fatness from them? Just wondering, that's all. But I want you to get the hold of this. Watch Daniel 11 and 28. Just down the chapter. It says, then, and it's talking about the same person, then shall he return into his land with great riches. Well, let's get the great riches into this. I have a feeling when it says his land, that he's been away fighting with Egypt. I think if we had read on, we would have found that out. Yes, let's go back to 24. I'm sure I'm jumping the gun a little bit here. Verse 24, and he shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done and his father's fathers, which tell me plainly that this man, this super man, this man who's going to be the president, that he must be a Jew. Because he's going to do what his father's never done or his father's father's, and I'm sure that Daniel wouldn't have put that in. I want you to get this. He shall scatter, let's get the word scatter, he shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. He's got a lot to throw around him, hasn't he? Because I think that this is a part of the policy of building up the common market. You see, when the referendum was on, there are farmers in this meeting now. They said to me, what are we going to do? Are we going to vote for this referendum or are we not? You see, I knew what was in their mind. Supposing every farmer in Ulster had voted totally against it. Now, they didn't. Remember, there came a yes from Ulster, although some of us didn't like it. But there came a yes. But supposing every farmer had voted yes, supposing that Britain had come out of the common market, supposing all the farmers in the free state had stayed in, I'll tell you, the common market would have scattered them, prey and spoils and riches. made a mess of some of the wee farms up here. It was a very tight moment, wasn't it? You know that's how they're going to prosper. Because they'll be able to give away a bit here and there and yonder. And that's exactly what this book says. Because that's the plan. It's a part of the plan. You see, when we go over to 28 where we were, then shall he return into his land with great riches. Of course they're going to prosper. Great riches is actually inspired there. And his heart shall be against the holy covenant, of course. And he shall do exploits and return to his own land. That's why I say, when it says at the beginning of the verse, then shall he return into his land. I think he claims Palestine as his land in a certain way. Ah, but his own land. Ah, that's the common market heart. And you're bound to see that he's got great riches. Let's go down the chapter a little bit. See verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will. Now don't let's get mixed up with his power just now. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And that's that mouth coming into it again. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined, that's what kept me from voting. If God determines, it will be done anyway. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. That's why I know he's a Jew of some kind. Nor the desire of woman. What was the desire of woman right through the Old Testament scriptures? To be the mother of the Messiah. He has no time for that. Yes, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of woman, nor regard any God. Because this is the same man that's in 2 Thessalonians 2. He shall magnify himself above all. Now watch this carefully now. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. When we come to his power, we'll know more about that. Actually, the translation in the margin said the God of munitions. And the God whom his fathers knew not, let's get that bit in, shall he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Oh, who's the God that his fathers knew not? You see, when we come to think about the religion of the common market next week, let's get it quite clear and unmistakable that he's going to make the Church of Rome the religion, the common market. And you know, he'll be able to give them a lot too. Gold and silver and precious stones and all the pleasant things they want. If they want Babylonish garments and golden crosses, they'll get them. They'll be beginning to slate the chapels with gold. Oh, yes. Who told you he wouldn't prosper? You're reading right. I can tell you the politicians don't know anything about this. I couldn't find the page. I tell you it will prosper. This common market will prosper. It's bound to prosper. Why, the understanding of the character and the plans that he has afoot. Once he begins to throw out things to folk, he'll get their vote. Once he begins to land into Rome's lap, all the gold and silver and precious stones. What's this little bit before we go any further? This is the power that he's going to have. It says in verse 42, we're at chapter 11, he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries. Oh, don't forget that little bit, you know. these 10 toes are going to spread over a bit of land. And the land of Egypt shall not escape. Oh, yes, they're having a bit of fun with it now, aren't they? Yes, that's just like them. You see, Mr. Kissinger's either there now or gone tomorrow. And he's fiddling about with Egypt, then he'll go over to Israel, then he'll go up to the Arabs. I wouldn't trust him for a night. If he was reared with Nixon, you would never know what would happen. I'll tell you what we bypassed there a moment ago. It said this. Verse 39. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide, and the word should be THE land, capital T, capital L. He shall divide the land for gain. You know what he'll do? He'll sell the Jews down the river. That's what he'll do. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Kissinger's not had it now. Oh, yes, you know, it's a great old book we have. But let's get this bit quite clear. Verse 42. While he will sell the Jews, he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries. Don't forget the word countries. And the land of Egypt shall not escape. Oh, no fear. Verse 43 is the big one. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver. Will he or will he not? See all the gold in all the vaults all round. Well, that's what sort of counts. You know, they're moving at this very moment in the common market. I have a paper here was sent to me. Dr. Hendrik Eldman, chief analyst of the Common Market Confederacy. So you can see if that's him, all right. Dr. Hendrik Eldman. His associates point to the need presently of a world monetary system that could do away with all currency and coin. We're coming suddenly to the place where pounds and new pennies won't count. We have a sort of credit card system going on in America, and they hardly use money at all. They carry around the credit card. A director of one of the biggest stores in Ulster was telling me the other day that this excess card that you can get from the bank, that a man can step into his shop and he can come from the back of beyond. His name can be anything. Pat Malone, if you like. That's just a guess all of a sudden. And if Pat Malone steps into the shop the last minute on Saturday night and he wants £200 worth of goods, and he hands in this excess card, he said, I can take it from his hand, go to the phone. I can phone a certain number in London that is always open. And in less than 5 minutes, I know how much Pat Malone has. And they're going to work like this, you know. This fellow's going to take command of all the gold. And I would like to know who's going to work against him. Yes, let's get this bit in from Revelation. We're back at Revelation chapter 13. And we're at verse 16, just to save the time. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. Can I go on and say black and white, red and yellow? learned and illiterate, Protestant and Catholic, can I go on and bring them all in? Jew or Arab? He causes all to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast. What's this piece of paper I have? I'll tell you where it's from. It's from Jack Blackwood, who is the general director of All Global Outreach Workers. Some of you might know him. And it says here, writing in the current issue of Gospel Call, published by the Eastern European Mission, Mr. England, who is one of the representatives, describes the recently unveiled, watch it all now, three-story computer. Three-story computer in the Brussels headquarters of the Common Market Confederacy. They've got a three-story computer in Brussels. Now, just at this moment, three-story high it is. Computer. It's nicknamed the Beast. This gigantic computer is designed to assign each citizen of the world a number. Every man Jack on earth can be numbered. And it's so wonderful, they only need 6 digits to do it. And they can be so mixed and remixed and double mixed that every man can have a number and no two the same. This gigantic computer is designed to assign each citizen of the world a number to use in all buying and selling. The number would be invisibly laser, you know the word laser beam, laser tattooed on the forehead or on the back of the hand. Such a mark would provide a walking credit card system. The number would show up under infrared scanners to be placed at all checkout counters of supermarkets and places of business. You're not telling me that's wrong, are you? Have they got this computer? Yes or no now? Is it in Brussels now? Come on, some of you dopes. Is it there? Can it put this infrared? Can it put this laser tattooed mark? Can there be an infrared scanner? Can it see the number when nobody else can? If you haven't got the number, you can't buy. My God, we must be at the end of the day. There was never anything like that printed in this world before. Brethren and sisters, I'm telling you, we are on the edge of this thing. The common market's there now, whether we like it or not. I hate the sight of it. The toes are wiggling now. They're about to form the parliament. The man of sin is not so far away, and before he can be revealed, we must be removed. My, how near we are to the end of the day. How near. My, we should fill the prayer meetings and flood them out and pray for our kids and do everything we can for the Lord. And we're sitting like they were in the days of Noah, half asleep, and the door will be shut in our face. Now, we're going on with this now. We have looked at its prosperity, and it's bound to prosper. We're going to look at its religion next week. And you may bring your peace with you, because we're not giving up too soon. Let's sing a couple of good old verses this evening. 1078, please. 10:78, tell the whole wide world of Jesus. Bear the news from shore to shore, telling sinners of the Savior, let the light spread more and more. First and last verses, 10:78, please. Make us conscious of the great truth that thou art coming soon. O Lord, awaken us. We feel that we need a real awakening. We're occupied far too much with the things of time and sense and little problems. Lord, thou wilt come to the air one of these days or nights. As sure as this book has foretold it, it will come to pass. Lord, help us to arise tonight and put our beautiful garments on and begin to shine in these last dark closing days. Help us to be lights to the perishing. Part us in thy fear and with thy blessing for thy holy namesake. Amen.